Good morning. My name is David Herbert, and welcome to Miami Town Church of Christ, virtually online. You know, when I started talking about change last week, I didn't expect this change to go on when I was speaking. You know, I'm expecting, I like having a congregation. I like having people in front of me. Now I know what Dusty was going through during the pandemic. You know, before we get started with all this, let's pray for a couple things. Pray for our worship leader who tested positive with COVID, and that's why we're not having church for the next 2 weeks. Pray for myself with my back. It's going a little bit better, but it still is hurting a lot. So please pray for that, and pray for our church. You know, guys, with the pandemic, with COVID, we have to adjust to change. And for the next 2 weeks, this is what we're doing. So we'll have the sermon online on Sunday morning, and we're also going to have a communion meditation on there as well. So make sure to look for those. So again, let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather outside. Thank you for the ability to be in your presence. Lord, I look around me, and I see things every single day that reminds me of who you are and what you do for us. Lord, right now I pray for our church. I pray that as we close for the next 2 weeks, that people can watch this online and they can just still sing your glories, worship you, but from the comfort of their own home, Lord. Lord, be with myself, be with our worship leader as he is tested positive for COVID. I pray that you be with him, and that he gets better very, very quickly. I pray for myself, for my back. I pray that you heal me, and that I'm able to go back to being who I was and just not hurt on a daily basis, Lord. Lord, continue to be with us. Be with my message as I preach it. I pray that your words speak through me, and that whoever is listening to this will be able to understand the message and just get the point that you would have them hear, Lord. Open their hearts, open their ears. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So when I lived in Arizona, for those that don't know, I moved here this past January, right before COVID. So when I lived in Arizona, outside my house, there was a thermometer, which would tell me the temperature, what the temperature was outside. As I left my house, most of the time I would check to see what the temperature was. And in the summer in Arizona, it was usually between 100 to about 115, 120. But it's a dry heat, right? But inside my car, though, once I got in my car, turned on my car, the temperature was a lot cooler. How come? Well, you're right. It was cooler because of air conditioning, something we all have. Now, if you just think about turning on the air conditioner, when you turn on the AC, the temperature, if there was nothing else controlling it, if you just turned on the AC, the temperature would continue to drop and drop and drop until it was freezing in the car. Then you'd have to turn on the heater to warm it up. And by the time that's done warming you up, you're roasting. You gotta continue the process, do it back and forth. Well, if you know anything about cars, you know that the air conditioning has this device that regulates the temperature. So you don't have to keep switching between the AC and the heater. And that device is called a thermostat. Now, a thermostat is a wonderful invention. I can use that thermostat to set a climate control of about 68 degrees, and I can drive all day long in a comfortable temperature that I like. See, when a thermostat is active, it can do something about the temperature. A thermometer, on the other hand, is passive. It just reflects the temperature around it. So my question for you this morning is this. Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? Let me explain a little bit more. I want you to think for a moment about the impression you have on those in your family, your friends at school or where you work or at church. Are you someone who simply reflects the temperature or mood of those around you like a thermometer, or are you like a thermostat that affects the temperature of those around you? You know, too often we're like thermometers, aren't we? You know, if the temperature of those around us rises, so does ours. And we end up lashing back. If people are cold around us, we usually tend to become cold and moody. If they're negative around us, we become negative and cynical. If people are critical around us, we become sarcastic and divisive when times are tough and we give in to defeat. Have you ever noticed that when you're talking to someone, if they start talking a little bit softer, so do you. But if they start yelling, you're right there with them. That would be a thermometer. And can you imagine how different the scene of the cross would be if Jesus would have been a thermometer instead of a thermostat? What if Jesus would have run away in the face of the temple guard coming to arrest him, just like the disciples did? What if Jesus allowed his temper to get the better of him when he was slapped across his face at the trial? What if he lashed out at the soldiers trying to tie him to the whipping post? What if he got into a mudslinging match with the thieves and the soldiers who ridiculed him on the cross? No, Jesus wasn't a thermometer. Jesus was a thermostat. He was not going to allow himself to be caught up in the negative atmosphere of those around him. Now, you might say, well, what do you expect? After all, he is the Son of God. Yeah, you're right. Well, then let me have you look at a more human example. And we have a wonderful example of someone who is determined to be a thermostat despite the circumstances in which he found himself. The story is found in Genesis 39, and that's the story of Joseph. Now, if you know the story of Joseph, things were pretty bad for him. In the beginning, he was manhandled, he was thrown in a pit, he was sold to slave traders by his brothers, and he eventually ends up in a foreign country in the home of one of Pharaoh's top military leaders, Potiphar. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Joseph is lined up with all the other slaves to be sold, and Potiphar has some money and he wants a slave. He would have been able to pick from any of the slaves that are there, and he would have picked the one that he liked best. He would have picked the slave that was right for his needs. Do you think that Potiphar would have picked Joseph if he was like, oh, woe is me. I got sold into slavery by my brothers. I'm here. I don't want to be here. Would you think he would have picked him if he was acting with that type of attitude? No. Joseph knew that even though this was a bad situation, God will provide. So then he gets to Potiphar's house. And what happens? It says in Genesis chapter 39, verses 3 through 4, when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. Again, do you think this would have happened if Joseph just moped around when he did the vacuuming and the cleaning and the cooking, feeling homesick and in this new strange culture? Again, no. Joseph knew that even though he was in a bad situation, God will provide. See, things are starting to look up for Joseph when suddenly Potiphar's wife begins to take interest in him. Now, again, think about this. Potiphar is a very powerful and influential man. He could have had anything he ever wanted. I don't think that, and as his wife, he could have had, again, anybody he wanted. In my view of it, Potiphar's wife was probably gorgeous. She was probably looked at as a very beautiful woman. And if you ask any of the male population in the world today, Most of them would have been flattered by this attention, not cared that she was married, and just gone along with whatever she wanted. But not Joseph. You see, Joseph was a thermostat. And in this case, like Jesus, being a thermostat caused him plenty of grief. But he made the right decision. He ran from her, and she ends up making up a tale that ends up with him in prison. Woe is me. Just like before, here is another perfect example for Joseph to indulge in a little bit of woe is me. I try to do the right thing, and look what happens. Everywhere I go, I try to follow God. I try to do the right thing. And instance after instance, he gets put down. If anybody had a reason to go with the situation and be bummed out about it, it was Joseph. But is that what he does? No. It says in Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 through 23, the Lord was with him and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden, so that the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. It's incredible. You put Joseph in a good situation like Potiphar's house, and he's trustworthy, he's responsible, he gets along with all the other people, he has a very positive disposition, and things improve for everyone around him. Potiphar's wife lies about him, and he gets thrown into jail, and his life goes in the dumps again. But guess what? He is still the same trustworthy, responsible, positive disposition, and again, things improve for everyone around him. See, God's people can make a difference. They respond not to the environment around them, but from something inside of them. So what is it about Joseph that made the difference? Again, I'll say it. The Lord was with him. This is what made Jesus a thermostat. This is what makes Joseph a thermostat. And this is what makes you and I a thermostat. When we have the God of the universe living in us, which we do, we become a thermostat. We become positive agents of change and affect those all around us. Instead of cursing at the darkness, we light a candle. Now let's apply this lesson to the present day. You know, we could look at bigger churches all around us, and it'd be easy to say, you know, why not just close up shop and join some big, successful church down the road? But that is what a thermometer would think. I heard someone once in a church say this. They said, what we need is someone rich to come into our church, and that would solve all our problems. I surprised that person by saying, no, we don't. We don't want a church that relies on money. We want a church that relies on Jesus Christ. Who do you think we're going to rely on if we get a bucket full of money? We'd rely on ourselves. See, it's human thinking to assume that God is only working in our lives when times are good, or he is only working in those big successful churches. If you really think about it, the Bible shows us in one example after another that God really does his greatest work in times of difficulty. You know, God's greatest work is done when people's backs are against the wall. That's when we rely on him the most. What part of Joseph's life did God record for us? Did he record all that he achieved as prime minister of Egypt? Or did he record all the tough times he had getting there? That ought to tell us what's important to God. When history looks back at the Christian church, What will we be remembered for? Will we be remembered for our TV programs or our magazines or our colleges? No. My guess is that the church will be remembered for our willingness to follow the lead of Jesus Christ and allow him to change our church into the type of church that he wants us to be. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord shall build the house, the weary builders toil in vain." You know, our journey is unique. And God is looking for the Josephs of this world to stand up and to be counted as he rebuilds his church. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, we are told this, not to despise the day of small things. You see, God's looking for thermostats that have willing hearts, who are willing to take a stand, to go against the flow, and most importantly, be willing to follow his lead. And guess what? In all these cases where individuals relied on God, there was a happy ending. Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. And more importantly, look at Jesus. Jesus didn't stay dead. He was resurrected to glory. Who knows what God has in store for us? It might be prominence, or on the other hand, it might be smallness. There's a man named Stephen R. Cole, and he told this story. He said, "One day I was jogging in the forest near my house when a question popped into my mind. What about John Spurgeon?" Now, I admit, not many people are losing sleep over that question. But I've been reading the autobiography of the famous British preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I was asking the Lord to bless my ministry like Charles's ministry. But then this question hit me. And I began thinking about John Spurgeon. You ever heard of him? Until, again, talking about Stephen J. Cole's story, he said that he hadn't heard about him either until this recent reading that he was doing. And he says this, I'd never heard of John Spurgeon. But John Spurgeon was the father of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he himself was a pastor and the son of a pastor. Yet if his son had not achieved such great fame as a preacher, John Spurgeon would have served the Lord faithfully, gone to his grave, and we would have never heard of him. And hundreds of pastors are like him have walked with God, shepherded his flocks for a lifetime, and gone to the reward up in heaven without any notice in the sight of the world. Again, Stephen says, "As I jogged, I thought, would I be willing to serve God faithfully and raise up my children to serve him, even if I never achieve any recognition? Even if no one but my own small congregation knew my name?" The more Stephen thought about it, the more he realized. He said, "Yes, that's really what I want. To be faithful to the Lord in my personal walk, in my family, and in my shepherding of God's flock. The Lord never says, 'Well done, good and famous servant.' But he does say this, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.' If God makes me as famous as Charles Spurgeon, that's his business. My business is to serve as faithful as John Spurgeon." You know, our success in ministry should never be measured in dollars, terms, or size. Rather, it should be measured by our faithfulness to the message of the gospel and our faithfulness to love those who share our journey. The point is that Jesus is with us in the great places as well as in the awful places. See, thermostats act in the same godly manner whether times are good or bad. Always remember that. No matter what you are going through in your life, the Lord is with you. Let's pray. Lord, again, you are incredible. Yes, we're away from church for these next 2 weeks. Yes, this pandemic, this COVID is still going on. Yes, Lord, it is it with the rioting, with the different things going on, this virus, Lord, everything. This world is in an awful place. But we need to remember that the Lord is with us. Always. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Lord, you are incredible, and our love for you grows every single day. Lord, be with us during these times. Be with us during the good times and the bad. And Lord, always show us your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of this Sunday, and I will see you back on November 1st. That's the next time we will be back in the service all together. May God bless you and keep you in everything you do. God bless.